Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 13th, 2016, Pastor Paul Tolbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Before I read the text, I need to share with you the name of a man. There won't be a quiz on this, but it's good to know. His name is Martin Rinkert. He was a pastor in a place called Eilenburg, Germany in the mid-1700s. He was at a time when the 30 Years' War was going on in Europe, which was not 30 years. It was a terrible war. During this war, many people went running to Eilenburg because it was a walled city. If you had walls around your city, that meant that you would be protected from wild animals at night and also bands of soldiers going around trying to kill you. And as all the people from the surrounding area would pack into this place, of course, it's a walled city. So the sanitary conditions went way down. And when people got sick, it spread very quickly and very easily. And to top it all off, the Swedish army surrounded the entire city and said, unless you come up with X number of gazillion dollars as a tax, we're going to level the city. So there's great sorrow, great sickness, and people were dying. Pastor Rinkert even buried his own wife. He had multiple funerals of his congregation every day. We just had one funeral yesterday, just kind of like, oh, I can't imagine burying member after member, and then among those members, your own wife. Now, that was a time where there was a lot of fear, there was a lot of anger, there was a war going on, people were afraid of dying, they were afraid of their... what's going to happen? They didn't know, where is God? All those questions are going, flowing through their minds, pouring out of their hearts. Pastor Rinkert picked up his pen, and he let us know how he was feeling. You need to listen to these words. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Now, when you go to your Facebook feeds, do you hear those same echoes of thankfulness? When life turns a sudden downward trend for your friends and your family, or maybe yourself, do your Facebook feeds and your Twitter accounts light up with the thanks and joy of being one of God's kids? The emails that you send out in times when you are stressed, are they filled with thanks and praise to God, or do they vomit out the same kind of junk that this world vomits out? Pastor Rinkert had, what you and I would say, every reason to complain and grumble because life was not fair and it was bad and it was terrible and he was going to die maybe any moment, and yet he had to take care of other people. What about himself, and who's taking care of him? And his wife died, for pity's sake. You don't see any of that. You hear, now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. Where did he get that from? How could he stay steady when all around him everything was just falling to pieces? Where in the world did he get that kind of a joy and a peace and a thankful heart that was rooted upside down in heaven and was just showing fruit in his life? Let's turn now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And may the Holy Spirit strengthen us with that same word of God that he used to strengthen Martin Rinkert. For we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. And now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God is here telling us to be thankful for his work and his word and his guaranteed outcome of that word and work. Now, how much do you remember the Apostle Paul's ministry to Thessalonica? I won't ask for a show of hands, because some of us have a hard time even pronouncing that name, Thessalonica. How come it's such a long name and such a short book, two of them? Thessalonica was a place that the Apostle Paul was told to preach, and when he went there, what happened is the Judaizers, the people who were still following all the rules that he had to do to, they thought in their head, to make God happy, they didn't like the fact that Paul was there preaching the good news, that Jesus had come and done everything for everybody, and all you had to do is trust in him, and his word would create that trust. Jesus Christ crucified and risen, that is what the Apostle Paul preached and taught, and it stirred up hatred. They hired some guys from the marketplace who were known to be rabble-rousers, and they would start in and they start a fight. It says, becoming envious, they took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, they set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring out Paul and his co-workers, but out to the people. But when they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and some of the other brothers to the rulers of the city. Rabble-rousers for hire.
Eesh.
Who would have guessed? Well, they did their work, right? Sure enough, they did. The Apostle Paul could no longer stay there safely, so the Christians said, get out of here. We want you to be protected. So he left. He went to Berea. Guess what those guys did? They followed him to Berea and caused trouble there until finally he had to leave there. Then they said, And they went back to Thessalonica and kept on stirring up trouble for those in Thessalonica. Oh, does Paul write to them as if God doesn't know what's going on? Does God really know what's going on? This is what the Lord says. You also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, but we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Be thankful. Be thankful, he's urging us to do, because of God's work. It says we are bound to give thanks because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. I can't do anything to save myself. I am unable by my sinful nature. I am unwilling. I don't want to participate at all with what God has to do with my life. I'm always fighting God. I'm a rebel at heart, and so are you. And we live among rebels in a world that's governed by the head rebel, Satan himself. So what's up with this? Well, God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. See, the Holy Spirit blesses us with faith, and then faith shows itself in how you live. That's that $10 word you learn in confirmation class, sanctification. It means you're set apart for God's kingdom. A good way to remember it is, as you're walking, remember that the path you are walking on eventually is going to turn into streets of gold. You might be walking on a trail out looking for a deer, And suddenly that trail that you're on is going to turn into a trail made of gold. You might be driving along someday, and suddenly the road of heaven turns into gold. You might be walking down the hall in your own house, and suddenly the hallway turns into gold. That is what's waiting for Christians. You and I are going to walk on streets of gold, the scriptures say, with angels attending us in our great joy and thanks to God who saved us. That all starts with God. It's God's idea from beginning to end. Faith, and then that faith shows itself. You know, because if I know that I'm walking on streets of gold, and I know you're walking with me, that's just too cool. That's just too neat. And so you and I, when we're talking along, I'll say, boy, isn't that neat? And we'll both marvel at God's incredible love for us. But you know what? When we see someone walking over there who is not on our streets of gold, that's kind of bothersome to us. And so we'll do whatever we can to get him to come and walk with us on our path that we know is going to end up on his streets of gold in heaven. That's how faith shows itself in our life. That's how faith shows itself in our speech, in our thoughts, in our activities. In fact, faith and our life are so closely bound together that in one place the Lord tells us, faith without works is dead. You're just kidding yourself. So be thankful. Be thankful for God's work of salvation that is all completed. But then also be thankful for his word that talks about that work. His word that creates faith to believe that that work actually happened for you. It says, he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. Now, these believers were still struggling. You don't see a whole lot of, oh, there, there, now. Come on, come on. No, you'd see him saying, stand firm. You don't see him say, well, you might as well just give up hope and walk away. No, he says, stand firm. And that's good advice from the God, the perfect counselor. You know what happens when bad things happen to Christians? You know the first thing that Satan puts into your mind? The first thing is, stay away from church. Stay away from your Bible. Don't take time out for your Bible anymore because you're just too sad. Don't go to church anymore because you need that time to be away from God. You need time to be by yourself. And God says, what are you doing? No. When the world is trying to stress in on you, is trying to rip out your heart, what you do is you get hold tight to God's word. And when it starts to slip through your fingers, you think, hold tighter. Because this is what gets you into heaven. God's word creates faith. Faith is strengthening. Faith is helps you stay focused on who Jesus Christ really is and what he really did. You know, not everybody lives for you. Not everybody dies for you. Although, as veterans can attest, there are some soldiers who really did give up their lives for us. But Jesus came back to life. I don't serve a dead God. I serve a living God and Savior. And he called me to tell you this good news, which is another word for gospel. So I'm thankful for God's word that talks about his work of salvation. But now listen to these words. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved and given us everlasting consolation and good hope and grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Contrary to what economists might say, the economy is actually in God's hands because it's in the future. Contrary to what politicians say, doesn't matter which side you're on, the future is in God's hands. Contrary to what your doctor may say or your friend may say, doesn't matter, God has a future in his hands. You know what God does? He says, I want you to know that you are safe and comforted. I am with you no matter what. And you need to remember that. Because life does get stressed out. There are troubles in this life because you're living in a sinful world. You have a sinful flesh. You're going to be tempted all the time to ignore me or think that I'm not here. I want you to be aware that I am there. I'm with you all the time. I'm not ever going to leave. I have given you everlasting consolation and good hope. So as we wait, that's what the Apostle Paul is praying for. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Do you do that? Yeah, I can't answer that question for you. I can just ask you. When things are hard in your life, as they were in the Apostle Paul's life, as they were in Pastor Rinkert's life, do you pray for other people? True confession time, as a pastor, you should know that many are the times when the stress is in my life, I just pray for me. The Apostle Paul, who was underneath all those pressures of those rent-a-mobs and being beaten and driven out just for preaching the good news, what happened? What did he pray? He prayed, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself comfort your hearts. Establish you in every good word and work. The Holy Spirit uses his word to do that. So whenever we're depressed or discouraged, we go back to his word and we are refreshed and we are reminded. And what do? You say, Lord, thank you. You know, this brings to mind so-and-so. Could you please comfort and care for that person? There's something else that goes on. Sometimes when we're discouraged, we usually feel unloved and unwanted, unnoticed when troubles are going on. What's so cool here in this part of God's word is how he addresses us. He says, brethren, beloved by the Lord, at your loneliest, scariest, most discouraging moments in life, your highest stress moments in life, you know what God calls you? Beloved in the Lord. Beloved by the Lord. Just like Pastor Rinker was, you are also loved by the Lord. What does that mean? That means that nothing you do or say or think will change that, because this is what God is doing. He's chosen to say, I love you and you are my beloved. I have set you apart from myself. I've called you to faith with my gospel. I've given you my word that talks all about that. And I've set you on a path that's going to wind up with you walking on streets of gold in paradise with me. Wow. That changes everything, doesn't it? It changes how I look at life, changes how I look at challenges in life, and deepens my faith and my joy and my thanks. So give thanks and be thankful for God's work and his word and that guaranteed outcome that Jesus Christ won for us on the cross. And the angels announced from an empty tomb, he's not here. He's risen just as he said. In his name, amen.